Okay, good morning, everyone. My apologies for running a few minutes late. More than a few minutes, I'm sorry. Thank you for waiting.
Good morning.
Should be for Simchas.
Amen.
Now I'm going to mute everybody. Okay. Now I'm muting them. You'll unmute if you have a question. Okay, we love you. We love you. Good morning, everyone. That's I don't have the exact sponsorship, but...
I read it already.
You read it already.
You read it in advance, made announcements, did everything.
The Heisers and the Omens. So very much have them in mind always, really do. We're going to learn today, continue learning, a very tragic and very difficult episode to like really swallow, which is the vow that Yiftach made and what happens ensuing. So we're getting there. We didn't get there yet. Last week we had a long discussion about trauma and how trauma in your youth affects, what effects does that have on, you know, when someone gets older. So let's begin over here with Pasuk Lamed. It is backtracking a little bit, but we need to start there to really understand what's going on. So the Yiftach is on the eve of fighting a war against Ammon. The Yidar Yiftach Neder Lashem. So Yiftach himself makes a vow. If Hashem will give Ammon in my hands, and if Hashem allows me, it's like a very interesting way to say it. Hashem allows me to come back through my door, through my home, right? Back, can I? Hashem allows me to go back into my home safely. Then you know what's going to happen? Then whatever comes through my door first is going to be brought as a korban to Hashem. Linda, just okay. So to tell you, my grandmother passed away this past year in Pesach time, and they used to go probably around this time of year, November, to Miami for a few months here. They'd come back for a few weeks and then come back, and this was like the conversation that my grandparents had together. The truth is, at that moment, my grandfather was doing much worse than my grandmother when they went to Florida. And they turned to each other and they said, I don't think we're both making it back through this door. Like when they were leaving their apartment in the Five Towns, they go on Central Avenue. That's the way we, right? That's the way we talk. That was a conversation they had. They're married for 63 years, Baruch Hashem. Privileged to have a very great relationship with my grandmother. I used to spend every Friday there when I was in high school, especially senior year. And my grandfather was doing a lot better than he was back then. And that's the way we speak when something happens. It's tragic. We're concerned. We're nervous. We're going to make it back through the door. And this is the nether that he made. The nether is that if I make it through, then the next person, right, whoever comes through my door first, when we come out successfully, is going to be brought as an olah. Yeah.
But he didn't say the next. He said the next thing. He didn't necessarily say the person. He said thing, and maybe in parentheses in his mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Maybe when he said olah, he meant whatever is kosher olah. You know, we're assuming.
Right.
He could have had that in his head that he was going to give something to.
That's what
I said. He didn't necessarily mean.
So, like, what? Right. So, what if it was the pig?
The next kosher, you know, carbon that comes through, I will bring as an olah.
It was right.
It was like an assumed.
It was something that was right for a carbon.
Right. Something that was.
We don't know that. Right. That could have been his thought. We don't know.
Saying something.
Kind of like jumping on this guy. Because we're missing words that he had in parentheses. Because we weren't there.
I'm sure if you would ask him right after he said that, he would say,
he would have said, of course that's what I mean.
I never would want that to happen.
And I know this whole thing.
So you know what? Let's see. Let's see. Because last week we discussed about Pesach Lenedarim, that if there is like a reason to undo it, because, I had that knowledge originally. Is that?
Right.
We'll see if that is discussed in the aftermath of this. We mentioned both the Radak and the Malbim point this out, that what he was saying was a little bit different than what you're suggesting, but same idea, is that Balisihu, ola ola, meaning either I'll bring this animal, right, to as a korban, if that is possible, a cow, a goat. But if not, then I'll bring the amount that the person is worth. We have a concept called erchin, that the value, erchi alai, I can vow for the amount that I am worth. And that vow will go to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what the Radak understands is going on here. And actually, the way the Radak phrases this is very interesting. He goes, I know what Chazal say on this. And Chazal say, no, he meant it very literally, like not with the word O, but he goes, that doesn't seem to be what the text is telling us. So he's going against Chazal over here in what he means, because he thinks it really goes against what the Pashup Shat understanding is.
Just in general.
Yeah.
If you're under a very big strain, a lot of stress, and medically you're not doing well, and you make a shrug, right? Are you held to it? In other words, if you're under such stress, you make a promise because of the situation that you're under. How is there any leeway to kind of?
Yes.
Because it's a situation that you're in at the time. It's kind of causing you to do this.
100% correct. But at the same time, this is what people do sometimes under stress to like say, if Hashem saves me from this,
that's why they do it.
Right? Think about all these different stories. Like if Hashem saves me from here, then I will bring, I'll give $100,000 to stuff. I'll give, if Hashem, I'm in the middle of an illness right now, lo aleinu. If Hashem saves me from this, then I'm going to learn Daf Yomi every day. I never went to Minyan. I'm going to go to 3 Minyan in the day. I'm going to donate whatever to this organization. But that's not a real thing. It is a real thing. So
this is the limit. In other words, if you're not a rich guy, you need to go ahead and say, I'm going to give away all my money. That's like a little overboard. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's a point where you cross over, where a shul becomes.
I think that's why you need like a mumcha tam chacham to be involved in undoing a nether. You can't just undo it on your own. I think it's very, very important to understand. Like you need a mumcha to be involved in that. And but like think about at the beginning of our parsha, we have a nether too. Yaakov makes a nether. Either Yaakov nether leimor, right? Yaakov made a nether, and that was at a moment of extreme stress in his life. He didn't know. He didn't have a penny to his name, right? I think we spoke about this at your father's funeral, right? How he had, $10 in his pocket coming over to America. And that was very similar to Yaakov Avinu in the beginning of the parasha, that he didn't have anything to his name, right? And all he has, the Kiba Makli Avarti Yisirvina, all I had was this makel, this stick in my hands. And that was it. That was all I had. So he makes a neder. There was. If Hashem saves me here, I'm going to dedicate my life to Hashem. So we learn from there, that there is a concept of making an eder b'shat be'isara. That is a real thing. Under duress, a person puts a gun to your head and says, swear to me that you're going to give me X, Y, and Z, then yeah, that's not an eder.
But the point is, there's a good thing dedicating life to Hashem here. It seems that he has to kill his daughter, which is a very bad thing. That's it.
Right. So, is it that, or is it like I'm willing to live with the ramifications? Meaning, like, let's see how this plays out. I think it's very important. So, let's see how it plays out. Vayavor yiftach el bnei amon lilachem bam beitneim Hashem biyado. So Yiftach went to bnei amon and beitneim Hashem biyado. He wins easily. He destroys over 20 cities. And he subdues the enemy. Right? It's two psukim for an entire war. That's like, it's a pretty serious thing. It's pretty easy. He goes back home El Beso. Now what happens? Right, his family's coming to greet him. He just got back from war. Bitupim uvim cholos. She comes, just like we're very similar to the language by Miriam, right? Bitupim umecholos. We had a bar mitzvah last night of a girl, Mary Rosenberg in the shul. So what they give out as the they gave out tambourines. They gave out tambourines, right? Yechida ein lo mimenu benubas. This is like parenthetically. By the way, we want to tell you a little bit about this woman, which this makes it even more difficult to like really swallow. And that is he yechida ein lo mimenu benubas. She is like an only child. And he doesn't have, right? It says this is a she doesn't have children. Mimenu. He doesn't have any, sounds like he doesn't have any more children. Except for her. Only child. This even makes, right, this declaration, what's happening, what's unfolding right in front of her eyes, much, much more difficult to really understand and to swallow. Vayikir osa osa, when he sees her, Vayikras begadav. He sees and understands and internalizes immediately what this means. Vayomer, aha, biti, hachreya, hichritani. Vaat, hayit, beochrai. Hachreya, hichritani. So the way the Svarya understands it is you have made me fall. And you have become one of those that trouble me. And you have caused me to be subdued. Is a language here. You have brought me to my knees. That's a more accurate. That's art scroll. You have brought me to my knees. Like when after korim or mishtachavim, like when something really, you hear something that's like so sudden and so shocking, like you sometimes like naturally like fall to the ground. Right? Yeah.
See, what troubled me was just me. Why is he going wrong? He's going wrong. You came out, you poisoned me. You didn't do anything. Why is he picking on him? You have caused me to feel miserable. He's just the one that made that. She was not involved. Why is he blaming her? Why does the language say, you have, then it says, I have opened my mouth, but why is it her fault? She did it innocently. She came out with tambourine, she was trying to be. You know, Mr.
Right.
And it turns to me, says it's your fault, really?
I think you see more and more this character that we learned in the beginning, and we see what actually comes after this.
Right.
There's a lot of faults.
You have made me.
You have. Right. You did it. Yeah. Really? I don't think so.
But we see that also. He couldn't have come off this high horse. He could rectify this.
He didn't want to in the beginning. He didn't
right.
want to be.
Yeah. So you'll see.
I don't want this.
Right.
Yeah.
You see how this.
Yeah. So now listen to the end of the pasuk. Vanochi patzisi p'es Hashem v'lo chalashuv. I opened my mouth up to God, and we can't undo it.
Right, but he blames up in the first place.
Right, I can't undo.
He could have left that sentence out. And said, "Oh my gosh, look what I did." In other words, I did what I did, but it's your fault.
So what is it? He can't do it. Is that really true? He can't do it?
I'm sure he could.
Right? So
he wanted to. Instead of saying, oh my goodness, what can I do? How can we fix this? No, I did this. Okay, so it's your fault.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so let's go on. Let's see what happens. So maybe, right, not in his defense, but maybe to understand what's going on here is that maybe this got out already as to the fact that he made this nether. Right? Maybe he made it. Maybe he made this nether, and everybody knew about this nether. Maybe he made a mistake in this nether, but he couldn't take. He felt like he couldn't take it back. So it was almost like a sign in the door that said, "Don't come in. We'll facilitate the right, you know, species, like an animal, to come into the door. This way, we are kashering this nether retroactively." But she was so excited that she went in. I'm not saying that is what really happened. But maybe that's a way to understand what's going on. But he is saying very clearly, Lo uchal ashuv, I cannot undo this nether. I cannot undo this nether. So the Medrash points out that he could have went to the Gadol Hador and undone this nether. The Gadol Hador at the time was Pinchas HaKohen. How old is Pinchas at this time? Pretty old. right? If this literally is Pinchas, that's Medrash says, it was Pinchas who was around. Pinchas was Eliyahu, according to Kabbalah. So then, it's transfers over. So Pinchas was around. He was the Kohen Gadol. So everybody from this Medrash that's made it, they make it sound like everybody really knew what was going on. And he, Yiftach, says, I'm not going to Pinchas because I'm the king, right? I'm not going to him. He should come to me. So they went to Yiftach, and they went to Yiftach, to Pinchas, and Pinchas said, I'm not coming to him. So the price of stubbornness, right? The price of... What?
It's a talented development.
Right.
So how important was his word?
Not important enough.
Right? But Tom Mary Love, so she talks. What does she say? What does she say? Avi patsisa espicha el Hashem. You, right, have opened up your mouth to Hashem. Stop there. And what does the average daughter say right now? I can't believe you. What are you doing? This is ridiculous. You better fix this right now. Right? That's Aseli Kasher Yatsami Picha. You have to follow through. Pshat, not the drush, not the medrash we just Pshat sounds like she's saying, Abba, I forbid you from going and changing and undoing what you said. She says, I want you to do it. Hashem followed through on his end. So how can you not follow through on your end and do what you said and what you swore you're going to do? That's the way it works. Didn't you teach me, right, that you have to keep your word? Right? This is... So the daughter, we don't know her name, right? The daughter is into this, and she is supporting her father. Yes.
But we learn that the most important thing that we have, to the point that we're even in the Kabbalah Shabbos, is always to save a life. That bumps everything to the side.
Mm-hmm.
So, by her saying that she wants to be a karba, to me, it sounds like it just was over a line. As if it is like with Yitzchak, Hashem told him to do it.
Yeah.
So you have no leeway. But over here, if a person makes a mistake and if there's a way to rectify it, I think that the person that's now saying, take me for a cover, is doing the wrong thing.
I hear you. So what you're saying is that it's she might be saying something very nice. But sometimes when you know a little, right, it's dangerous. And you what? A little knowledge is dangerous. So that's really what's going on here. A little knowledge is dangerous. We need to be flexible in like our principles. So it's wonderful and it's true that the principle of keeping your word is very important, but that's not always, you have to be flexible on that also.
What about just saying it's against the Torah?
It's against the Torah. That isn't that enough? I hear 100%. It's against the Torah, period. Right? So
there's no discussion there.
So why right? Why is not brought up? Because again, Yiftach was somebody that's not how he started, right? He didn't become the leader of the Jewish people because of his personality or his respect. That's not where or rooted in Torah. That's not where it was coming from. Vatomer el avihem. Ya'aseh li hadavar hazeh. So what you notice here, look at Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin. Lamed Vav begins, Vatomer elav, she says, the father, Yiftach never responds. Yiftach doesn't respond, but then the Navi again says, Vatomer el avihem, and she speaks. That's superfluous. Doesn't need to say she's speaking. So Rabbi Foreman once pointed this out. I remember when I was learning with him that whenever this happens, whenever there's like Vatomer, Vatomer, without any response in the middle, the Navi or the Torah is telling you there must have been a response in the middle, and it must have been very obvious. Meaning that Yiftach at this point, but I'm going to argue, is he must have said, yeah, sorry, no, that's not what we're doing. We can't go through with this. This is ridiculous. No way. But Tomer Elavia, she continues to persist. Ya ye'aseli hadavar hazeh. Do this to me. Harpe mimenu shnaim chadashim. Mimenu. Shnaim chadashim ve'elcha ve'erarti al arim ve'efke'a al bisulai v'anochi v'reosai. She says, let's do this for 2 months. Not right. We're not killing her. That they're not going to do. Not going to kill. For 2 months, let me go away. And I'm going to go to the mountains. And I'm going to be there. And I'm going to cry over the fact that I'm never going to get married. And I'm going to be there for 2 months with some companions, with some friends. So here you have different levels. The Medrash writes, I think I have it in the Radak over here. Yeah, let's look at the Radak first. The Radak writes, it's what happened to his daughter in that area of the page. Yesh mefarshim inyan arid. B'sichi v'yared yared v'inyan echad rabim kamo v'anochon l'farish k'mashmo ki ha-mitzvah shesham haya bayis beis yiftach haya goha alarim, where he lived was in a mountainous area. Oma v'yaradki k'neged ha-emek asher ben ha-mitzvah v'arim chen v'yalu osam ha-emek achor v'yared sela kamo shepirash. Either literally means she went amongst the mountains, literally to a high point, or she went amongst the mountains. She went like in a valley in between the two mountains, right? So those are two interpretations exactly where she went. Ubidrash, the Medrash, he says, V'yarti al heharim. What are the mountains? Eilech lifnei Sanhedrin. I want to go to the Sanhedrin. Ula yimsu pesach l'nedarecha. Maybe they'll find an opening to the neder. Her father said yes, and somehow, some way, either the leaders, the Sanhedrin here, did not find a Pesach for her nether, or she didn't make it there.
She said she wants to go. She wants to go in the boat. He said, okay. Why didn't he say, I'm going to do something?
I'm going to go with you.
I'm going to do this. He's just not doing nothing.
Yeah. We got it. We got it. Right, we're following. Right, so I hear you. I hear you. So it's a little bit unclear as to who.
He's saying sure, whatever happens, okay, it's on.
So she says. So he responds. Vayomer lechi, go ahead, go. Vayishlach usa shnei chadashim. Vateilach hivarei osa vateifk al besula alarim. And it's exactly what she does for 2 months. For 2 months, what happens? V'tashav el aviha, v'yas la es nidra asher nadan. So after 2 months, she cries. She comes back, and they follow through in the nether. V'yas la es nidra asher nadara. Now, what does that mean? How did they make? They didn't kill her. No. That's for sure not. They're not. That's like off the table. But what they do? What they do?
Like Rapunzel, she's banished.
Rapunzel. So look at the Radak. Maybe this is where they got the story from.
What?
A lot of those stories are biblical in nature. So let's.
It's like a
okay, I don't know where the like, forbidden apple. Come on, that's the apple. It's Christian. Radak vayas la es nidra asher nadar sheasala bayis. They made her a house and she stayed there. And she was not with anybody. She wasn't any people. She wasn't involved in the world. And And there seemed to be some type of rule that people would go visit her each and every year. As if to say, like, I don't know, was it Bikur Cholim? Was it Chesed to go visit her? They, but. Yeah. Yeah. So, what?
What 4 days in the year did they visit? Were there specific days that they visited?
I haven't seen what days they were. What days those must have been. That's Malbim Moshe. The Ish v'Nishar Tzura Aguna Ad Mosa. Yazem Mitzvah Lifti Data. This is like what was commanded of her to do. This wasn't. This is a yeah. She's an Aguna, meaning she wasn't. It seemed like she wasn't based on this nether. She was not allowed to get married. She was stuck. Miyamim Yamima. The last pasuk in the. Oh, sorry. Miyamikeshnaim Chadashim Tashim. This is like a chok b'Yisrael, which sounds like this was like everybody knew about this. Like this is like a rule, a law that everybody knew about this. It happens to be the Haftorah for anyone else, which we discuss this. Our Shchukas. Ati chok b'Yisrael. Our Shchukas. Rashi writes here, Gazer Shlo Yasu Adam Okein. What was a chok b'Yisrael? That no one ever was allowed to do this again. Honey says, you better believe it. Because if they would have went somewhere, things would have changed. Right? Pinchas also lost out of here because he should have said, sometimes a leader can't stand the ceremony. It's very important. Sometimes you have leaders like, I'm not going to him. He's not going to me. I have to say sorry first. No, leaders can't stand on ceremony. So Pinchas here lost out his connection to Hashem. He lost out the divine presence. He lost out his skin. Yeah.
So he said before that she did go to try to get out of the shul, but they told her they can't do it. So who ultimately decided this remedy?
It sounds like it's
a father. Decided
this. Vayomer, yeah, it sounds like it was him.
But
yeah.
Decreed, this was his decree.
Like upshot, this is something compromised. Yeah.
We're going to give you a life that's similar to death.
Or worse than death.
Or worse than death.
Yeah.
It's like instead of dying, you get life in prison. Life in prison.
Life in prison.
Yeah.
If you take away somebody's possessions, he's considered
so we have it first.
Right, that's a Rashi in our Parsha. Yeah, okay. So maybe that, yeah.
We have it first.
Mm-hmm.
So they killed me so white for Christmas.
Ah. Miyamim Yamima. My daughter's middle name. Noah Yamima. Miyamim Yamima Te Lachna Benos Yisrael. With Tanos Levas Yiftach. Like to go visit. Latanos is a very strange word. Latanos. To lament. So we'll see, yeah. Right, very good. Very good, Linda. It's not Levakir, it's a visit. Levas Yiftach, Hagiladi, Arbaas Yamim Bashana, for 4 days a year. So look at what does the word Lethanos mean? So Rashi and the Radak both explain. Lekonein, to like dirge, eulogize, to lament. Livkos Abbasulaha Ima, and to cry over her. And to go visit her for these 4 days a year. And this was the chok that, so this, the Radak says, was the chok. The chok was, not that nobody ever was going to do this again, but the chok was that people would go visit her during these times of the year.
So who suffered more? Yiftach, that he made this and he felt guilty, or that she, 4 times a year, was reminded, look what happened. Who was really the one that suffered the most?
Who really suffered the most? What do you think?
I don't know. I don't, honestly, if somebody would come every single year for 4 days and remind me, just in case I forgot 4 minutes, that's not so great. And then
right.
What does it say about him? She went, they went to lament her. What happened to him? He just went along his merry little way.
He continued on.
Well, that's not okay. Somebody has to pay for something here. At least if they both share. She did, but he nothing. You know,
he probably lost his daughter.
Well, he could have saved her.
He lost his daughter.
We'll try to
save
him.
He also lost the generations to come.
Yeah, we'll see. There's a very short parak next. We'll see what happens. And you have to assume that the leadership, they're not going to have confidence in his leadership if he can't take care of this.
The judgment was a little off.
The judgment was off, right?
What's the problem to make a shul like this? A regular shul, like, you don't think over, what's the punishment?
Bitalasei. Is there Malkus?
It can also be Mater later, right?
That's the problem here. That's the problem.
So, no matter what the penalty
is. This is a lesson in stubbornness. That's one of the very important things here. Number one is to not be too careful, to be careful with what comes out of our mouths. And secondly, is to be flexible, to be stubborn, and to stand on ceremony, and to say, I'm never gonna do something. The never and the always clauses in relationships don't work. They never work. No, she said, but they don't work. And to say, oh, I'm not gonna be Matir Veneder, because what are people gonna think? What are people going to think if your daughter lives in solitude for the rest of her life also? You know, so there's a lot of confusion here. Even the way she ends up, or the way that it got to this point. But sometimes when it comes to, like, relationships, people hold on to their opinions so long to the point where it's disrepair, where it's almost impossible, requires, you know, years as opposed to, like, one conversation to undo all that was wrong. And that's, you know, that's what we see here. It got to a point where, like, they couldn't just undo it anymore.
If you learn something about a king when he makes a decree,
yeah,
he can't rescind it, he can only add to it. Yeah, modify it.
No, that's the Persian way.
Yeah.
That's the Persian way. That's Ben Hafochu. That, like, is not a healthy thing to do.
So
right.
It's not a foreign idea that you have to follow through.
Right. Exactly. Right, right. Yeah, 100%. Okay, we will stop here for today, and we will continue Perek Yud Beis, Ezra Hashem, next week.